This is a difficult day to really celebrate properly. It's obviously difficult to celebrate properly because we're still somewhere in the middle of a pandemic. And yes, thank you for putting back on your mask. We're still somewhere in the middle of a pandemic. And we're still not under optimal conditions, but more than anything, we're not under optimal conditions because we're living in the United States of America. And the character, the flavor of Yom HaTzma'ut is just much different in Chutz La'aretz than it is in Eretz Yisrael. Almost every one of you had the experience of celebrating Yom HaTzma'ut in Eretz Yisrael. And every Yom Tov is different than Eretz Yisrael. Sukkot, Pesach, everything's different in Eretz Yisrael. But Yom HaTzma'ut, obviously, is of a much different character. This year was a first for me, because I got to watch from afar as my grandchildren celebrated Yom HaTzma'ut in Eretz Yisrael, my Yosef's children. They would have been just about old enough to start celebrating last year, or whatever you call celebrating when you're two or three, but celebrating in Gan. But watching the videos from Gan of my little guy, my two-year-old grandson, with a headband and two flags coming out of it, looked more like a Martian than a little Sabra. It was almost hard to watch. Brought a smile to my face. But there's something about watching Yom HaTzma'ut celebrations in Eretz Yisrael that certainly makes us question, makes us wonder. And for us, Yom HaTzma'ut has to not just be a day of celebration, which of course it has to be, but it also needs to be a day of reflection. It should be a day of reflection in Eretz Yisrael also. But here it really has to be a day of reflection about the role that Eretz Yisrael, that the Geula, that Klal Yisrael, that all of these things play in our life. I remember before leaving Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael, I remember Rav Yehuda Amital, Zichrono Levracha, sitting down with the Shana Aleph guys. And before we went home, he mapped out what he wanted from us as Zionist Jews who were heading back to America. And he had a very minimal request. He said, in his classic style, but in Hebrew, which I'm not going to try to pretend I can repeat, he said, when you open up the newspaper, there used to be this thing called a newspaper, besides the commentator, there used to be actual hard copies of things you'd look at. That's where you'd get the news in the morning. So when you open up the newspaper, don't turn first to the sports section. Open up to the world news to see what's going on and if anything happened in Eretz Yisrael. There you don't have to do that. You can follow the Jerusalem Post feed. And if you follow the Jerusalem Post on Twitter, you get a lot of news that is just really irrelevant to you living out here. I mean, some of the stories are big things, but they send out, I don't know, 50 tweets a day. But I still do that because Rav Amital asked to try to make sure that Eretz Yisrael, the Geula, our people, are at the forefront of our minds. That at least Eretz Yisrael, our people, the stages of the unfolding of the Geula is something that should be on the forefront of our mind. This was not Rav Amital's Einfalt. Chazal, when they set up the Shmoneh Esrei, they relegated half of the requests. Every single Shmoneh Esrei to the unfolding stages of the Geula for Klal Yisrael. Rav Hirsch has a famous, not our Rav Hirsch, but the, you know, the other, we call him the other Rav Hirsch in YU. The other Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, is a famous idea that Lehit Palel means to judge oneself. It's a little hard to understand what that has to do with Davin. certainly one of the ways in which we judge ourselves when we daven is to look at the words in front of us in the Shemoneh Esrei. Look at the advice given to us by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. And to ask ourselves every single time we daven whether our priorities are correct. If I were given 12 topics, if you gave me a game, and you said, okay, you could ask for 12 things every time you daven, I would not have made half of them about the unfolding stages of the Geula for Klal Yisrael. I would probably have put one thing at the end, right? Oh, and bring Mashiach. Yeah, you know, not now, not today. Today I'm busy, I have a final, a certain inflation. It's not today. But like, you know, at some point when it's convenient for all of us, should bring the Geula. Chazal dedicated half of the brachos, every single Shemoneh Esrei for thousands of years. Half of the brachos they relegated to the unfolding of the Geula for Klal Yisrael. We have to judge ourselves every time we daven the Shemoneh Esrei. Not judge whether we're worthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us things as a chesed. We're not judging our worth. But when we come to the second half of the Shemoneh Esrei every single day, we need to ask myself, is this half of what I'm thinking about? Half of what I'm praying for? Half of what I'm hoping for? Does this take up 50% of my imagination every single day? The unfolding stages of a Geula for Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? And that's what Yom HaTzma'ut has to do for us. In addition to recognizing the hand of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and celebrating it, it needs to serve to reorient us. The fact is, every Yom Tov, every Moed, everything we come encounter with once a year, twice a year, is there to realign us to what's really important to us. And Yom HaTzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, Yom HaZikaron, even Yom HaShoah, this entire period is a period where we are asked to focus on our role as part of a people, as part of something much larger than us. I encourage you, take a second. If you're that holding in Shemoneh Esrei, I'm not half the time, but if you're like at the end of Baruch Ali, after you say Mevarech Hashanah, try to stop for 1 second. Stop for 1 second and say, okay, now I'm going to enter the second half of Shemoneh Esrei. I'm going to enter a mindset where the national unfolding of the Geula for Klal Yisrael is now going to take up the other half of the brachos of the request that I have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to be reoriented every single year in Yom HaTzma'ut. Even if we were in Eretz Yisrael, we'd still need to be reoriented. Halavai, that should be our problem next year. For this year, we're still here. Yom HaTzma'ut is pretty much wrapped up in Eretz Yisrael. Who knows, maybe by Yom Yerushalayim we'll be there. But in the meantime, if we're not there, we're not part of Yom HaTzma'ut in its fullest sense. It needs to be what we think about before the sports section, before what's going on, and in addition to what's going on in our everyday lives, 50% of our attention to the Geula that's unfolding in our day for Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Chag HaTzma'ut Sameach. It's my great pleasure to introduce the real speaker for this Sudas Hodah. I sure saw the Rosh Yeshiva who are here. I'm just seeing faces now. To see so many Baruch Hashem back here together, it's my tremendous honor to be able to call upon Rosh Shulman for.
I want to start off with something that we're going to read in this week's Haftarah. The Haftarah describes how Shomron, the capital of Malchus Yisrael, was besieged by Aram, the army of Aram. The Haftarah begins, "Va'avor anoshim hayu mitzayroyim pesach hashar." There were four men who were mitzayroyim, they had tzaras, and they were outside of the city gates. you understand that the time of siege outside of the city gates is not the place where you would ordinarily want to be. So why were they outside of the gates? Obviously, because they were Mitzrayim. We know the Torah says that the Mitzrayim has to go outside of the Machaneh. He has to go outside of the city. The Kveinu in Mishnayis asks, the Mishnah says in Kelim that a Mitzrayim is Mishtaleach, has to be sent out of a city that's Mukav Chayma Miyamais Yeshua Bin Nun. Just like we're familiar by Shushan Purim. Has to be a city that had a will from the time of Yeshua Bin Nun. Otherwise, it doesn't have the status of Machne Yisrael that a Mitzrayim needs to lead. Shomron, says Rabbi Krager, was a new city, relatively speaking. Shomron was built by Omri, Melech Yisrael. Pasuk Malach Malach. Vayikem Esahar Shomron. Omri acquired Mount Shomron. Vayikem Esahar, and he built it up. So this is long after Yeshua Ben Nun. This was not a city that was Mukav Chayim and Meshi Yeshua Ben Nun. So why did the Mitzrayim have to leave? So the Kveger answers that you look at the Targum and that Pasuk, the Targum says, Vayiven Esahar, he built the mountain, Vayiven, and he acquired, Vayiven Esahar, he acquired the mountain, Vizoven Yas Krochom. He acquired the city. So as Rabbi Krager, it seems from the Targum that this was really an old city. It wasn't a brand new city. He acquired it, he added to it, but this was an old city, and apparently it was Mukav Chayim and Miyamais Yeshua Bin Nun. Is there a way to tell us that in a lot of that? The Aruch HaMer, in his Tshuvas, Binyan Siyan, he asked Rabbi Krager from the Gemara Sanhedrin, how was Omri, who was a wicked king, how was he zoche to become melech? Because he added a new city to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a new city. If he just added some neighbors to a city that existed before, that's not called Hesif Kachecha Eretz Yisrael. So it would seem from the Gemara that this was a city that was established first. Omri created the city. So why did the Mitzrayim leave? Why did the Mitzrayim have to leave? So the Yassin answers, he brings a Tana de Be'el Yo. The Tana de Be'el Yo says that what was Omri's agenda in building the city of Shomron? He says the Tana de Be'el Yo, just as in Malchus Yehuda, they have a Yerushalayim, famous city with the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, Shomron will compete with Yerushalayim. Just like your own Menavot, at the very beginning of Malchus Yisrael, they've been afraid that people are going to want to go up to Yerushalayim, they're going to want to go to the Beis Hamikdash for the Regalim. So he made competing things, Babel Zoras and so on, to competing centers of worship, so that the people shouldn't go to Yerushalayim. So Omri, in a similar way, he made a city, he made Shomron. This will be the new Yerushalayim. This will be instead of Yerushalayim. Says the Binyan Siyan, says the Aruch HaMer. Since his whole agenda was to make a city that should be like Yerushalayim, should be a substitute for Yerushalayim, so he wanted it to be as much like Yerushalayim as possible. Yerushalayim, Yisrael left. Yerushalayim was Machne Yisrael. Yerushalayim, Yisrael weren't allowed to be there. So when they built Shomron with the intention that it should be Kishem Yerushalayim Malchus Yehuda Kach Shomron Malchus Yisrael, so they made it as much like Yerushalayim as possible. So they made the bylaws like the laws of Yerushalayim, and they didn't let Mitzrayim in. So that's why the Mitzrayim had to leave Shomron. So if you think about it, there's a stunning thing here. Omri, Chazal tells us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that how is Omri Zoichel and Malchus? Shehoisif Kach Echad Be'eretz Yisrael, because he built a city in Eretz Yisrael. In the schus of building a city in Eretz Yisrael, Omri was Zoichel to Malchus. But why did he build Shomron? His whole agenda in building Shomron was that it should replace Yerushalayim. Shem Yerushalayim and Malchus, Kach Shomron and Malchus Yisrael. That's a schus. Somebody builds a city there to draw people away from Yerushalayim, and that's a source that Daniel was able to come out. Apparently, the merit of building a city in Eretz Yisrael, the merit of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of building Eretz Yisrael, even to the extent of just one city, it's enough schus to be zeichel malchus, despite the fact that his agendas were antithetical to us. His agendas are possible. Nonetheless, it was ma'aseh da'atecha b'Eretz Yisrael, but that he was zeichel malchus. Celebrating here Israeli Independence Day. So what's the Hebrew word for independence? What's that in Hebrew? Independence Day. Somebody tell me. You all know. What's independence in Hebrew? It's not a trick question. I mean, it is a trick question, but solid question. Right? Atzmaut. Atzmaut's a modern word. But in classical Hebrew, rabbinic Hebrew, what would be the word for independence, national independence? Malchus. Malchus means sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the culmination, the Rambam describes what happened, Yevonim and so on, the culmination is the Chozra HaMalchus LeYisrael Yosim HaMasayim Shonu. Malchus Yisrael, when the Rambam talks about the Chozer and Malchus Yisrael, it doesn't mean just that the Hashmonoim were Malachim. The Hashmonoim were not such great role models. And the Ramban says that the Hashmonoim altogether were wrong in taking Malchus. Malchus belongs to Shevet Yehuda. When the Rambam says that we celebrate Hanukkah because Chozer, what we celebrate is that Chozer and Malchus Yisrael, it doesn't mean the Hashmonoim in particular. It means Jewish sovereignty. Jewish sovereignty. Like you say, particularly, Jewish sovereignty, self-government was restored for more than 200 years. And apparently that's such a great thing. That's so significant that centuries later, and that after 200 years it was extinguished, we still celebrate Hanukkah, that there was a period of time when there was Malchus, Chozra Malchus to Israel for 200 years. We're celebrating Chozra Malchus to Yisrael, the restoration of sovereignty, independence, Jewish self-government in Eretz Yisrael. Halei Dovel. But something we need to address and not sweep under the carpet. This morning in the Beis Medrash, our Talmidim poured over the Sfarim of the Mishnah Berurah of Chofetz Chaim and of Chaim Briska. Perhaps of Baruch Ber, perhaps of Chaim Eizer, the Achiezer. We consider these Arabeim. We go to the Mishnah Medrash and we sit at their feet and learn their Torah. And all of them were staunch opponents of Zionism and the Zionist enterprise. So how exactly are we there Talmidim in the morning? Shoshim B'Tzomes Divrayim. Now in the afternoon we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut, the triumph of the Zionist enterprise. I think we need to address them, not just we need to ask the question honestly if we have any hope of first of all being mechaven and talmidim are honest with themselves, and if we want to be mechaven lamidim shalteres. So perhaps part of the answer is the rabbinic opinion at the time was not as monolithic as one sometimes thinks. There were many rabbanim at the time, great talmidei chachamim, who were sympathetic to Zionists. But nonetheless, the fact is that the Gorg Racer, the ones who saw them populate our bookshelves, you don't have to look for them in the internet archives, were mostly, with a few notable exceptions, were mostly opponents of Zionism. We need to understand what was the opposition. You know, we're celebrating that much, but I'm celebrating too, but we need to understand the Sugi. Instead of just pretending the Sugi doesn't exist. What was the opposition to Zionism about? Why was there opposition? So today, nobody knows any history, and people think the opposition was because the religious people thought, or the rabbis thought, that you know, until Mashiach comes, you're not allowed to have a religion. That was not, maybe in Satmar, that was the idea. I don't know what I'm in Hungary, but in Poland, in Litva, that was not the issue. fact is, at the beginning of the Zionist, Chayyim Tzion started by religious Jews, and at the beginning of the Zionist movement, the organized Zionist movement, there was a lot of excitement among religious Jews, among Rabbanim. Many Gdolei Rabbanim went to the first Zionist Congress, including, I believe, Rav David Kalina, who was the Gadol Hador. But when they got there, they received a rude surprise. Because speaker after speaker got up and declared that that among the primary goals of Zionism is to establish Jewish identity on a new basis, to replace the old Jewish identity that was predicated on Torah and religion, and to replace it with something else. And a great part of the Zionist enterprise was to replace the influence of the Rabbanim in the leadership of the communities. Herzl said that we're going to lock up the rabbis in their synagogues. Eliezer ben Yehuda, the father of modern Hebrew, he wrote an article, and he said, "Anachnu kulanu paninu oref lemoreshet avotenu v'hi tilatenu v'tifatenu." Our pride and glory is that we've turned our backs on all of Jewish tradition. At this point, rabbinic opinion became divided, remained divided. There were those who felt that, nonetheless, the enterprise of building Eretz Yisrael belongs to all Jews, and we have to participate in the enterprise and work to have an influence from within. Rav Shmuel Moliner, Rav Shlomo Cohen, who was the Zitzkana Dayanim in Vilna, the Macheshes, and of course, most famously, Rav Kook. But there were many who felt that this is now a struggle for Kodesh HaKadosh, the essence of what it means to be a Jew. And we can't go together with that. We have to fight against that. Chaim Brisker, Chaim Meiser, Chofetz Chaim, they all took that line. And for the whole period afterwards, for decades, the struggle in Eastern Europe, the struggle around Zionism and its opponents, was not about going to the army in Israel, and it wasn't about giving money to the Keren Kayemet. It was about who should control the kehilas, the Rabbanim or the seculars. And it was a very, very bitter struggle, and it left scars to this very day. Yet, there's a deep question. Because the Zionist enterprise succeeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams. Who could have imagined? Not only Malchus Yisrael, not only independence in Eretz Yisrael, which Yisrael belonged to the Ottoman Empire, even the early Zionists, they didn't dream of an independent state. Most of the Jews in the world today probably live, halachic Jews probably live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has become, the state of Israel has become the center of Jewish life in a way that it hasn't been since my history. So how do we as religious Jews, how do we wrap our heads around that? How do we wrap our heads around the fact that the Zionist movement that set up as its goal, one of its primary goals, the supplanting of Torah as the center of Jewish identity, and yet it merited this incredible source of Chazra Malchus to yourself. But the truth is that ideology of replacing Torah identity, an identity, a Jewish identity that revolves around Har Sinai, revolves around Torah, replacing it with something else, that was the ideology of Omri. Hashem Shei Yishalayim L'malcha Yehuda, Kach Shomrayim L'malcha Yisrael, to set up something, a Jewish identity that revolves around Yishalayim, that was a threat to him, his malchus. He wanted a different, a Jewish identity that should revolve around Shomrayim instead. And it was with that agenda that he built Shomrayim. And yet, Chazal could say, Omri was zeichet to Malchus, because at the end of the day, he built one city in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever his agenda was, whatever his ideological purpose was, at the end of the day, he built a city in Eretz Yisrael, a city that outlasted his agenda. And with that, he was zeichet to Malchus. The schus of building Eretz Yisrael is so great that even if it was undertaken, even actions that were undertaken with an agenda that was antithetical to Torah, nonetheless, were sufficient. The merit was sufficient that the army could reserve the Malchus with that. The Zionist movement, the Zionist enterprise, built not one city in Eretz Yisrael, but a whole country. Its pioneers drained the swamps, planted the trees, cultivated land that had not seen a plow in centuries, all under the threat of violence, Arab violence, and their tears, and their sweat, and their blood. They took a desert that was a Mahapechas Sdoyim, and they turned it back into an Eretz Zovos Cholov Udvash. And if we shouldn't wonder that they were that it merited, that enterprise merited, Chozer Malchus itself was Zeichel Malchus. The word only sold of Cook, the Pani B'Sharov, who prophesied that the schus of building Eretz Yisrael and the power of Eretz Yisrael will bring its builders and its pioneers back to the Rebbeinu Shlom and back to Torah. The Pani B'Sharov used to say that we need to, famously used to say, we need to prepare tefillin for the children of Ein Charod. I don't know if Ein Charod means anything to you. Ein Charod was a kibbutz, a Mapam kibbutz. Mapam was the Flagat HaPoalim. It was the left wing of the Zionism. It was a significant part of the Zionist organization. It wasn't the mainstream. The mainstream was Mapai. But Mapam was an important part. They were communists, basically. But they were very important. The Palmach was built from was Mapam. We can't even imagine what it was like. I have pictures. Somebody once gave me pictures of a float, a parade, a Yom HaTzimut parade, I think it was Yom HaTzimut parade, with a float from Mapam, decorated with pictures of Lenin and Stalin. I have pictures of the Motaot Evo, the mourning announcements when Stalin died that the Mapam put out. We can't even imagine how far away the Mapam was. And Ein Charod was a Mapam kibbutz. And the Pani B'Sharov said, we have to prepare tefillin for the children of Ein Charod. And then as we see this with our own eyes today, not all at once, and not without hitches, not overnight, but little by little, the ideology of replacing Torah with something else, some other kind of Jewish identity, has eroded till it's really hardly remembered. And little by little, Eretz Yisrael is coming back to Torah. The people of Eretz Yisrael. The secular dream of a new identity, a new Jew, is gone. Nobody talks that way anymore. And the spiritual landscape in Eretz Yisrael has been transformed into the thirst everywhere for ruchnius, for connection. Of course, it's complicated, it's complex. We're talking about a people, we're not talking about a moisiv. It's a complicated situation. But not a few of the children who grew up in Ein Charod were tefillin today. To my mind, there's no contradiction between being a Talmud of Chaim Bisker and the Chofetz Chaim and of Chaim Eiser on the one hand, and celebrating here today. Their opposition was to an ideology that sought to replace Yerushalayim with Shechem. And that had to be fought. Our celebration is of the heroic enterprise that built not just Shechem, but all of Eretz Yisrael, and restored Malchus to Yisrael. And Chazal taught us that that's no contradiction. We can fight the ideology of Omri, the idea of replacing Shalayim with Shechem, and yet recognize that the yeschus of building of being Meisiv Tachet at Eretz Yisrael and being Zeichel Malchus with that. We should merit to see this process continue, strengthen, to see the Gula fulfilled, to make our way, all of us. Can we be as we are saying, we'll be as great 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 as we are sa